From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today, an update on the outbreak of the coronavirus from the World Health Organization. This is from a press conference that was held in Geneva on Monday. This is the WHO Director General, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus.
And good afternoon, everyone. Let me start, as always, with the latest numbers. As of 6 a.m. Geneva time this morning, China has reported a total of 77,362 cases of COVID-19 to WHO, including 2,618 deaths. In the past 24 hours, China has reported 416 new confirmed cases and 150 deaths. We're encouraged by the continued decline in cases in China. Earlier today, the WHO China joint mission concluded its visit and delivered its report. As you know, the team has traveled to several different provinces, including Wuhan. The team has made a range of findings about the transmissibility of the virus, the severity of the disease, and the impact of the measures taken. They found that the epidemic peaked and plateaued between the 23rd of January and the 2nd of February, and has been declining steadily since then. They have found that there has been no significant change in the DNA of the virus. They found that the fatality rate is between 2% and 4% in Wuhan and 0.7% outside Wuhan. They found that for people with mild disease, recovery time is about 2 weeks, while people with severe or critical disease recover within 3 to 6 weeks. The team also estimates that the measures taken in China have averted a significant number of cases. The report contains a wealth of other information and highlights questions for which we still don't have answers, and includes 22 recommendations. Dr. Bruce Aylward will give more details tomorrow on behalf of the joint team. But the key message that should give all countries hope, courage, and confidence is that this virus can be contained. Indeed, there are many countries that have done exactly that. Outside China, there are now 2,074 cases in 28 countries and 23 deaths. The sudden increase of cases in Italy, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and the Republic of Korea are deeply concerning. There is a lot of speculation about whether this increase means that this epidemic has now become a pandemic. We understand why people ask that question. WHO, as you know, has already declared a public health emergency of international concern. Our highest level of alarm, when there were less than 100 cases outside China, and 8 cases of human-to-human transmission. Our decision about whether to use the word pandemic to describe an epidemic is based on an ongoing assessment of the geographical spread of the virus, the severity of disease it causes, and the impact it has on the whole society. For the moment, we are not witnessing the uncontained global spread of this virus, and we are not witnessing large-scale severe disease or death. Does this virus have pandemic potential? Absolutely, it has. Are we there yet? From our assessment, not yet. So, how should we describe the current situation? What we see are epidemics in different parts of the world, affecting countries in different ways and requiring a tailored response. The sudden increase in new cases is certainly very concerning. I have spoken consistently about the need for facts, not fear. Using the word pandemic now does not fit the facts, but it may certainly cause fear. This is not the time to focus on what word we use. That will not prevent a single infection today or save a single life today. This is a time for all countries, communities, families, and individuals to focus on preparing. We do not live in a binary black and white world. It's not either or. We must focus on containment while doing everything we can to prepare for a potential pandemic. There is no one size fits all approach. Every country must make its own risk assessment for its own context. WHO is also continuing to do its own risk assessment and is monitoring the evolution of the epidemic around the clock. But there are at least three priorities. First, all countries must prioritize protecting health workers. Second, we must engage communities to protect people who are most at risk of severe disease, particularly the elderly and people with underlying health conditions. And third, we must protect countries that are the most vulnerable by doing our utmost to contain epidemics in countries with the capacity to do it. In the past few days, I have held meetings with the foreign ministers of France, Germany, Indonesia, Cuba, the Republic of Korea, and I want to thank them for agreeing to support their response. I also wish to thank the European Commission for its contribution of 232 million euros, which demonstrates the kind of global solidarity that gives me hope. France, Germany, and Sweden have also announced additional contributions. This is a shared threat. We can only face it together, and we can only overcome it together. When we act together, countries, regional and global health organizations, the media, the private sector, and people everywhere, our collective strength is formidable. Alone, we lose. Together, we win. I thank you.
President Trump was in New Delhi, India on Tuesday and held this joint press conference with India's Prime Minister, Narendra Modi.
My friend and President of the United States, Donald Trump, respected members of the American delegation, ladies and gentlemen,
namaste.
Good afternoon.
Rashtrapati Trump aur unke delegation ka Bharat mein
once again, a very warm welcome to President Trump and his delegation in India. I am especially really happy that he has brought his family with him on this visit. In the last 8 months, this is the fifth meeting between President Trump and myself. Yesterday, the unprecedented and historic welcome for President Trump yesterday in Motera will always be remembered. Yesterday, it became clear once again that the relations between the United States and India are not just limited to the relations between two governments. They are people-driven and they are people-centric. This relationship is the most important partnership of the 21st century, and therefore, today, President Trump and I have taken a decision to raise our partnership to the level of a comprehensive global strategic partnership. President
Trump's
contribution in raising our relations to this level have been invaluable. Friends, during our discussions today, we had a productive exchange on every important aspect of our partnership, whether it is defense and security,
energy strategic partnership,
a strategic energy partnership, technology cooperation, global connectivity, trade relations,
या फिर
people to people ties,
भारत और अमेरिका के बीच बढ़ता रक्षा
the increasing defense and security cooperation between India and the United States is a very important aspect of our strategic partnership. Cooperation in ultra-modern defense equipment and platforms will enhance India's defense capabilities. Our defense manufacturers are becoming a part of each other's supply chain. Similarly, in the area of new emerging technologies, India and U.S. partnership
innovation
has attained new levels in terms of innovation and enterprise in the fields of Industry 4.0 and of the new technologies of the 21st century. The talent of Indian professionals has reinforced U.S. companies' technological leadership. Friends, India and the United States are committed to openness and fair and balanced trade in the economic sector.
Over
the last 3 years, our bilateral trade has witnessed double-digit growth. And it has also become more balanced.
Energy, civil aircraft,
whether it is energy, defense, civil aircraft,
or higher
defense,
education,
or a higher education, over the last 4 or 5 years,
in four sectors
just these four
Bharat,
sectors
America ke
has
contributed $70 billion
to the relationship between India and the U.S.
Trump ki nitiyon
a lot of this
ke
is due to the policies and the willingness of President Trump.
कि आने वाले समय में
यह आंकड़ा
काफी बढ़ जाएगा.
This will further
जहां तक
grow.
Bilateral trade का सवाल है, हमारे कॉमर्स मिनिस्टर्स के बीच सकारात्मक वार्ताएं हुई हैं.
राष्ट्रपति
ट्रंप और मैं आज सहमत हुए हैं कि हमारे कॉमर्स मिनिस्टर के बीच जो अंडरस्टैंडिंग बनी है उसे हमारी टीम
legal will
group
take it forward to
हमें
give
बड़ी
it a legal
के लिए
shape.
Negotiations शुरू करने
we
पर भी
also,
सहमत
we have also
हुए
agreed to initiate negotiations for a bigger deal.
इसके अच्छे परिणाम
we are
निकलेंगे.
Confident that this friends, will yield good results West that will be in our mutual interest.
भारत और अमेरिका का सहयोग हमारे समान लोकतांत्रिक
मूल्यों
और उद्देश्यों पर आधारित
खासकर
इंडो पैसिफिक और ग्लोबल कॉमन्स में
इंडो पैसिफिक
इंटरनेशनल ऑर्डर के लिए यह सहयोग विशेष महत्व रखता है. हम दोनों देश विश्व में कनेक्टिविटी इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर के विकास में
एग्री
सस्टेनेबल
एंड ट्रांसपेरेंट सस्टेनेबल एंड ट्रांसपेरेंट
फाइनेंसिंग के महत्व पर
इन द डेवलपमेंट ऑफ कनेक्टिविटी
हमारा
इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर
या आपसी तालमेल एक दूसरे के ही नहीं बल्कि विश्व के हित में
है.
भारत और अमेरिका की स्पेशल मित्रता की
सबसे महत्वपूर्ण
कॉर्नरस्टोन ऑफ हमारे पीपल टू पीपल रिलेशंस चाहे वो प्रोफेशनल रिलेशंस या स्टूडेंट्स एज प्रोफेशनल स्टूडेंट्स
इंडियन डायस्पोरा का
इंडियन डायस्पोरा
सबसे बड़ा योगदान रहा
कंट्रीब्यूटेड द मोस्ट
भारत के ये एंबेसडर ना सिर्फ
These ambassadors of India are not only contributing to the US economy with their talent and hard work, they are also
democratic values or samruddha culture se American society
को भी एनरिच कर रहे हैं
मैंने राष्ट्रपति ट्रंप से अनुरोध किया है
कि
हमारे प्रोफेशनल्स के सोशल सिक्योरिटी कंट्रीब्यूशन पर
टोटलाइजेशन एग्रीमेंट को
दोनों पर चर्चा आगे बढ़ाएं
ये आपसी हित में होगा फ्रेमवर्क ऑफ टोटलाइजेशन एग्रीमेंट
इन सभी आयामों में हमारे रिश्तों को और मजबूत बनाने में राष्ट्रपति ट्रंप की ये यात्रा ने ऐतिहासिक भूमिका निभाई है एक बार फिर मैं प्रेसिडेंट ट्रंप को भारत आने के लिए और भारत अमेरिका संबंधों को नई ऊंचाई पर पहुंचाने के लिए हार्दिक धन्यवाद देता हूँ
थैंक यू यूएस रिलेशंस टू न्यू हाइट्स थैंक यू
वेल थैंक यू वेरी मच एंड प्राइम मिनिस्टर मोदी दिस हैज बीन अ वेरी स्पेशल विजिट अनफॉरगेटेबल एक्स्ट्रॉर्डिनरी what can you say? Very, very wonderful to be with you. Thank you very much. And Melania and I have been awed by the majesty of India and the exceptional kindness and generosity of the Indian people. We'll always remember the magnificent welcome the citizens of your home state. Well, it was a profound expression of strength and of real love. Really, it was love. Showed us upon arrival, it was a profound expression of strength and of real love. Really, it was love. And I think everybody saw that, everybody witnessed that for themselves. The First Lady and I also reflected on the memory of Mahatma Gandhi at his ashram. And this morning in Delhi, we laid a wreath in his honor. We visited one of your nation's most stunning cultural treasures, the world famous Taj Mahal. And we look forward to continuing our visit tonight during a wonderful state banquet with President Kovind at the Presidential Palace. I know Prime Minister Modi will agree that this has been a very productive visit for both of our countries. Earlier today, we expanded our defense cooperation with agreements for India to purchase more than $3 billion of advanced American military equipment, including Apache and MH-60 Romeo helicopters, the finest in the world. These deals will enhance our joint defense capabilities as our militaries continue to train and operate side by side. In our discussions, Prime Minister Modi and I affirmed our two countries' commitment to protecting our citizens from radical Islamic terrorism. In this effort, the United States is also working productively with Pakistan to confront terrorists who operate on its soil. Together, the Prime Minister and I are revitalizing the Quad Initiative with the United States, India, Australia, and Japan. Since I took office, we have held the first Quad ministerial meeting, I guess you would call it a meeting, but it seems like so much more than that, an expanded cooperation on counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and maritime security to ensure a free and open Indo-Pacific. As we deepen our partnership with India, we remember that our two countries have always been united by shared traditions of democracy and constitutions that protect freedom, individual rights, and the rule of law. During our visit, we discussed the importance of a secure 5G wireless network and the need for this emerging technology to be a tool for freedom, progress, prosperity, not to do anything where it could be even conceived as a conduit for suppression and censorship. To guarantee that the infrastructure of the future is built in a safe, transparent, and accountable manner, the United States is working with a range of partners, including Australia and Japan, to create the Blue Dot Network, a major initiative to ensure countries around the world to have access to private sector-led, sustainable, and trustworthy options for high-quality infrastructure development, and that's what's happening. Another major focus of my discussions with Prime Minister Modi is forging bilateral economic relationships that is fair and reciprocal. Our teams have made tremendous progress on a comprehensive trade agreement, and I'm optimistic we can reach a deal that will be of great importance to both countries. Since I took office, U.S. exports to India are up nearly 60%, and exports of high-quality American energy have grown by, thank you very much, 500%. That's great. As India grows, so do its energy needs. Yesterday, ExxonMobil signed a deal to improve India's natural gas distribution network so that the U.S. can export even more LNG to India. We are pleased to be joined by the chairman of ExxonMobil LNG Market Development, Alex Volkoff. Thank you, Alex, wherever you may be. Where is Alex? Is he here someplace? Alex, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Alex. And the CEO of Chart Energy and Chemicals, Jillian Ivanko. Thank you very much. Thank you both. Thank you, Jillian. Thank you very much. That's a big deal, Alex, right? Can you handle it? I think so, right? It's great. To further strengthen our economic ties, the United States is pleased to announce that the U.S. International Development Finance Corporation will be establishing a permanent presence right here. America is especially committed to working with India to improve development and empower women entrepreneurs. That is why my daughter Ivanka attended the Global Entrepreneurship Summit in Hyderabad to highlight women's economic empowerment. Ivanka, please, great job you've done. Thank you very much. Thank you. We have since launched the WGDP initiative, which is now spearheading projects supporting women in the economy from New Delhi to Kolkata. In our meetings with the Prime Minister, we discussed and agreed to create a counter-narcotics working group to confront the growing threat of illicit fentanyl and opioid production. We must rid our societies of these lethal, horrible poisons. We will rid our societies of these bad drugs that are pouring in. Prime Minister Modi, we have made tremendous advances for our people over the past 2 days. And working together, I know that our two nations will continue to achieve new breakthroughs, unlock new potential, and forge even brighter futures in the years ahead. We think we're at a point where our relationship is so special with India. It has never been as good as it is right now, and I think that's because the two leaders of each country, really, we feel very strongly about each other, and we have done something that's very unique, and we've made some wonderful deals for each of our countries. Once again, we want to thank you and the entire nation of India for honoring the United States with its outstanding welcome. And I'm pleased to say that the U.S.-Indian partnership is now truly stronger than ever before. This was a great visit with a tremendous friend and a tremendous leader, Prime Minister Modi. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Excellency. This concludes the press event. Thank you all for joining.
Meanwhile, Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov was in Geneva at a conference on disarmament, calling on the United States to back away from what appears to be moves towards a new arms race.
Thank you for giving me the floor, distinguished Mr. President, distinguished Secretary General, colleagues. This year, we are marking the 75th anniversary of the United Nations. Its establishment was secured by the victory in World War II. This grand victory laid the foundation for contemporary world order. It relies on the rule of international law. And that was the foundation for a system of multilateral arrangements in ACDMP. It guaranteed peace and international security for many decades. We then saw the establishment of the unique disarmament mechanisms by the UN, and this conference on disarmament is a key element. It was here in Geneva where major international documents, including using the fundamental NPT treaty was signed, and on the 5th of March we will mark the 50th anniversary since it entered into force. 75 years ago, the U.S. bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The U.S. became the only state that used this horrendous weapon, and that prompted an arms race. We still feel its consequences. A lot has been done in the second half of the 20th century to guarantee strategic stability and avoid a repeat of similar strategies. Unfortunately, this century is seeing dangerous destructive trends and a resurgence of aggressive egocentricities in foreign policy by one state. In 2002, the U.S. pulled out of the ABM treaty, and it was a major blow to the entire architecture in ACDNP. The U.S. has recently sought to dominate everywhere and impose its own rules upon the international community at the expense of other, in the interests of other countries and international law. All multilateral arrangements and mechanisms that run counter to such dominance are called outdated and inefficient. The world has sounded alarm over the unilateral withdrawal of the U.S. from the INF Treaty. The U.S. launched flight tests of American systems that were banned previously, immediately after withdrawing from the INF Treaty. They are now announced that they will place these systems in different parts of the world. Russia said it will have to act reciprocally, but it is showing a responsible approach. It has taken up a unilateral approach to not to deploy Russian land-based missiles in those parts of the world where the U.S. has not deployed them. And we call upon the U.S. and their allies to announce a similar freeze. We know that there's been some attempts to sow distrust of this initiative. However, we can still have the time to dispel all the doubts and draft a verification mechanism for such a mutual draft. Freeze. The U.S. has ignored these attempts, and that shows the true reasons why they pulled out the INF from the INF Treaty. It means that it has nothing to do with Russia's position. The U.S., France, and NATO allies in general are getting more active about the deployment of arms in space. So we still believe there is enough time to avoid a clash in space and draft mutually acceptable measures. So far, the only document we have on the table is the Russian-Chinese draft treaty on the ban on the deployment of weapons in space, the use of force or the threat of force related to space objects. So this is a comprehensive agreement. The Russian president has said that we want to extend the New START treaty without any preconditions, and we are waiting for a response by the U.S. The U.S. has officially said that they will not ratify the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. They keep some of the nuclear arsenal on the territory of some of their allies, and they even stage exercises where they simulate the use of nuclear arms against facilities in Russia. They have even engaged Europeans in these exercises. that there is still room for strategic dialogue. We proposed that the Gorbachev-Reagan formula should be reinforced. This, according to it, there can be no winners in a nuclear war, and it should be avoided at all costs. Such a statement would be a positive signal to the international community. However, the U.S. has ignored this proposal for 18 months. We hope that the New York-based review committee, review conference of the parties to the NPT, will work in a constructive way.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.